Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he pretended to be mad before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, David made a big mistake. He said once, "I will now one day surely die by the hand of Saul," when God had said to Samuel, "You will not die. I will preserve you. Saul's going to die and you'll be king." But David lost his faith in that and thought, "Nah, Saul's going to kill me." And he goes and lives in Gath. Now, Goliath was from Gath. And, of course, all the Philistines, first of all, they accepted him. And then they started to remember about David. And they said, "Isn't this David of whom they sung, 'David killed his 10,000s of us?'" They start to get really against him. And David realizes he's shut up in a closed city because these cities had walls around them and gates. And so he doesn't know what to do. He's trapped and they're going to kill him, and he realizes what a fool he's been. So he pretends to be mad. And eventually Abimelech says, "Get out of here. I don't need mad people in my court." So it was a very close shave with death. And so now afterwards, after he's left, these are his thoughts. "I will praise Yahweh at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul will boast in Yahweh. The humble will hear of this and be glad." So you see how David always describes the other believers as the humble. That's the big characteristic of God's true people, that they're humble and not proud. God so values humility. "Oh, praise Yahweh with me. Let us exalt his name together." In other words, he did a great thing for me, but I want you to participate. I want you to feel that it was done for you. "I sought Yahweh, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." There he was fearing in this closed city of Gath, with all the relatives of Goliath remembering now. It's a long time ago, but remembering who David was, probably 20, 30 years might have passed. And he has all these fears, but he says, "Yahweh saved me from them." They looked to him and were radiant. "Their faces will never be covered with shame. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." So it does seem that maybe we do all have a guardian angel. You remember when Peter was in prison and the disciples are praying for him to be released. And he is, miraculously. And then he goes to the house where the disciples are praying. Ding dong, rings on the bell, as it were. Rhoda comes, and she's so excited. "Wow, it's Peter." She runs inside and says, "Peter's outside." And although they'd been having a prayer meeting for him, they didn't believe that. They said, "No, it can't be Peter." Well, they've just been praying for him to be delivered. Just shows how weak our faith is. They said, "It must be his angel." So quite clearly, they understood that Peter had an angel looking after him. And here, David says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and saves them." So just as an angel led Israel through the wilderness after they were, as it were, baptized in the Red Sea, so maybe we are led by an angel towards the kingdom of God. And that's why when Jesus comes, he won't come alone. He comes with all the holy angels with him. It won't just be Jesus coming back, all the angels will come. And they will be at the Day of Judgment, and that'll be kind of appropriate that our angel, who was with us in this life, will be with us at the Day of Judgment. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And I think that is the biggest proof, really, of anything about God. Experience it for yourself. "Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Well, he'd taken refuge in Gath, the city of the Philistines, from Saul, and he realizes that was wrong. You've got to take refuge in God. "Oh, fear Yahweh, you his saints, for there is no lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack, and they suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh." So that's what we've got to do. If we've had these experiences of God saving us, as I often tell you stories of how God saved me, and I say to you, "Come, you children, young people, listen to me. Believe it, take it from me. Whoever desires life and loves many days that he may seek good, may he keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking lies. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So departing from evil, that means you don't watch things that are full of evil. That means you don't listen to things that are full of evil. You just get away from all that stuff. That's not for me. That should be our attitude. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears listen to their cry. The Lord's face is against those who do evil, to cut off their memory from the earth. The righteous cry, as David did from inside Gath, and Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all their troubles, and David had lots of them. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves those who have a crushed spirit. Well, Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, when he says, blessed are those who have broken hearts, because the good news is for them. So it's not for the proud, it's for the humble. It's for those whose hearts are broken. That's why proud people don't want the gospel. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He protects all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Of course, that was so true of Jesus. When they crucified him, the soldiers came to break his legs just to make sure he was totally dead and would never run away. But it was so clear he was dead, they just pierced his side with a sword or a spear. And they did not break his legs. So not a single bone of Jesus was broken. Evil will kill the wicked. Those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord saves the soul of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.